Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
One, two, three, listen.
Welcome to the Shoot the Shiitake podcast with me, Father Leo Padalinghug, a Catholic priest on a mission to bring people of all different backgrounds together to learn, to love, and accept one another, even if we disagree. We've got to be willing to listen to each other as God does with us and as God intends for us to do. This unique podcast isn't about the deep and technical things about the Catholic faith, but it's more about how to make these a realistic and practical part of our life, simply by listening. And this week, I've got the privilege to listen to Chef Malik Anderson. His story is one of redemption, from drugs and violence to now cooking with me, a Catholic priest. It's going to be a very inspiring deep dish discussion. And if you want to support our podcast, simply go to the website platinggrace.com and click on Support Us. That leads you to the Plating Grace Academy. Once a supporter and a member, you become part of a unique online community and you have access to premium content and other special perks. But for now, please join me and my guest, Chef Malik Anderson, as I dive into a deep dish discussion and shoot the shiitake. Chef Malik, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Father.
My pleasure. Listen, your background doesn't necessarily merit you becoming a personal chef.
Oh, no, not at all, not at all.
What is your background? Let us hear about that.
Okay, I was born and raised in Baltimore, Maryland, in an urban city, right?
Uh-huh.
And just like all urban city youth, we go through certain things, and I went through them, right? But through the grace of God and determination to do better, I came out of it and rose above it.
You got to have to tell me what kind of things in an urban city, because a lot of people that listen to this maybe grew up in the suburbs, you know, and so they might not know all that you went through.
Right.
So tell me a little bit about your background. I mean, your family and then you growing up.
Okay. Well, I grew up in a single family home, a single parent home. We lived with my mom, but my dad was in school part of my life.
He was
in school part of my life. He's actually the one that got me into cooking.
Really?
Right. Well, I first got interested in the cooking.
So he didn't abandon you?
No, he didn't abandon me.
Got it.
My mom and dad, they just separated.
Sure.
But he stayed in my life.
Great.
Right? He was a strong guy and influence in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom made sure that we knew that he loved us and that he was there. I mean, he showed us that he was there for us.
And how many kids in the family?
Me, I have two older sisters. I'm the youngest out of three.
And are you the favorite?
No, I know. My sisters say so, but I don't think so. I got two older sisters, but I don't think I don't.
Did they baby you?
No, not at all, really. Because I guess me being the only boy, but being the youngest, I had some. What I can say is that, okay, each child coming down did more at an early age than the next child.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like my youngest sister, she did more at a younger age than my older sister did.
Interesting.
And I did more at a younger age than
that's always
my sister
the case.
Did. Right.
Yeah. I think parents just get tired.
Right. So that's how it was.
But you grew up in Baltimore City, and was it rough without your dad? Was it difficult to grow up in a single home? And when you say you had to get into some stuff just because it was the environment,
right?
What kind of stuff was that?
Well, you know what? Actually, I'm going to say this is that everybody who grew up in the area that I grew up in, right? I'll tell them all this, right?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't grow up in the ghetto per se, or like the inner city. It wasn't like the neighborhood we lived in. It was bars on the corner from rescue from my house, or that it was people hanging out on the streets in my house. It was like it was a nice residential area.
Got it.
Right? And when my mom moved into the area, we was the only like the second or third black family in the area.
Okay.
Right? So it was like, it was, and my mom, she did a good job on making sure that she put us in the area that gave us an opportunity.
Ain't that something?
Right, to arise. But even though she put us in the area so that we can get an opportunity, just through peer pressure and what's going on around me, right, I gravitated out of my neighborhood. You know what I mean? I used to hang with like at my aunt's house in Cherry Hill, or hang at other family members' houses. There was us in the city that was more attractive to me. That was, I guess, quote unquote, fun.
Yeah, and what kind of fun was that? Because look, I know Cherry Hill. It sounds like a wonderful part of the house until you go to Cherry Hill and you realize, what world am I in?
I mean,
I live in Brooklyn, so I know.
Okay,
it.
You're not too far from Cherry Hill.
Not at all. I know Cherry Hill. My dad was a doctor right at Arbor Hospital, so he right across. So we would go through Cherry Hill a lot, and my dad actually would bring me sometimes into Cherry Hill to like help with some people, and so I know it. And why would it be attractive to you? Like, your mom is doing so hard, right? And look, this is no accusation, because this is what people do. Why do you think people are attracted to trouble?
I'm going to tell you why. The main thing, I think that the television and entertainment and music and all of that stuff, right, that has something to do with it.
It sure does.
Because especially the music today, right, there's no more like love songs. Like remember when we was growing up, we had love songs things like that. Songs that talked about love. Now everything is talking about money, women,
drugs, sex, drug, rock and roll.
Exactly. You know what I mean? That's all they talk about. Right?
I know, like Madonna at one point, Like a Virgin was the most racy song.
Right.
In the
'80s.
Now Like a Virgin is like, and now we're gonna beat her up and throw her on the floor and rape her. I'm like, what? Where is this coming from?
I mean, it's society, they start to accept more and more and more. I'll give you a prime example, right? When the Brady Bunch came out.
Yes.
Right? The so-called Brady Bunch.
I remember that.
It was,
did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it. But did you know when it first came out, right? They caught so much static because the Brady Bunch is the first show on TV that showed a man and a woman, a husband and wife,
with kids
sleeping together.
Yeah. Well, they were in the same bed.
Right. Remember, like, you used to watch I Love Lucy and like that?
Oh, my gosh.
They had two twin beds in the room.
Damn, you old, Malik.
Right. You know what I mean? I am.
No, listen, you're not old.
Right.
We're the same age, brother.
Okay.
So, but look, you know, we grew up in the same area, but we kind of grew up in different ways.
Right.
What kind of, I got into trouble too, but it was a little different from your trouble.
A little different.
And you explained that to me, because we're going to get to what you're doing now, because it's awesome.
Okay.
What kind of trouble did you get into?
Well, in the city, you got the drug dealing and things like that. I dabbled at first into the drug dealing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it really wasn't my forte, right? So,
so you were good at sales.
Right. You know what I mean? It wasn't my forte, really.
Uh-huh.
So a friend of mine who was into drug dealing and was doing real good in it, if you can be doing real good in it, he approached me one day and said, look, I got a couple of guys that owe me some money. You think you can talk to them for me?
Yeah, you don't look like you're going to be a pushover.
Right.
you are definitely a man who looks like, if I want something, I'm going to get
okay.
it.
Okay.
And so you were a collector.
Right, collector, pretty much. Yep. Yeah. I started.
Now collector to cook.
Yep.
What's up with that? How did that happen?
You know how it happened. It became because, of course, being a collector for this guy, right? Mm-hmm. Collecting this money, it comes with a lot of repercussions with the law and things like that.
Sure.
And then, okay, and I got arrested, and I went to prison.
Which one did you go to?
Okay, I went to MCIJ.
Okay.
Murder Correct Institute of Justice, right?
Yep.
And I was...
That's at least a nice one.
Right, right.
You didn't have to go to right. Baltimore City or
right.
anything.
Right, exactly. I hate to say it.
I've been to
right.
Jessup Prison as well.
Right.
I used to work there.
Okay,
so,
okay. Mm-hmm. Right, so, but then when I was doing my incarceration, I realized this is not what I want to do.
Amen.
This is not what I want to do. I do not want to be here. So when I get out, I'm going to formulate a life that I don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when I came out, you know, they say it's hard for ex-convicts to get a job, right?
Can be.
It can be.
Yeah,
right?
It is. Yeah.
And you got to take jobs taking a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and I wanted to do something. So, you know, I decided to do.
What's that?
I went to the store. I bought me a can of black spray paint and a can of white spray paint. And I bought some stencils, number stencils. And I went and I put on... A short sleeve button up shirt,
okay.
And a pair of khakis. Made sure my shirt was tucked in my pants.
Okay,
and I went out Howard County,
uh-huh.
knocking on people's doors,
uh-huh.
right, saying, "Hey, I was in your neighborhood today. I just spray painted your neighbor's address on a driveway, and I wondered if you wanted to do. I'm only charging $20,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I started doing.
So you started just spray painting.
People's addresses on their driveway. Like, you go to somebody's driveway, uh-huh. it's the address be spray painted
uh-huh.
on a
yeah,
driveway.
You can see it.
I started that.
Because a lot of people have them on these little things and I can't ever
right,
find
right,
them.
Right.
Yeah.
So I started that.
Wow.
How
much did you get paid doing a driveway?
$20.
So you decided, hey, for $20,
mm-hmm.
a driveway. Did you get rejected?
Yes, a lot. I mean,
How did you feel when you got rejected? Did you think, damn, these people are racist? Damn, these people are hateful?
No.
So you didn't go to victim status?
No, I didn't go to victim status. None at
all. A lot of people do.
You know what I'm saying? Listen, I thought, I did, I guess, I realized, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to use Murphy's Law, right? So if I knock on 40 doors
mm-hmm.
in one day,
mm-hmm.
Murphy's Law say I should get at least 5 or 10 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So if I got 10 of them, that's $200. Right?
Yep. No, listen, but you put your clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
You look respectable and decent.
Exactly.
And you went to people who had a little bit of money.
Right.
Did you
right.
feel uncomfortable? I'd love to hear your kind of psychology
you know,
and all
I,
that.
I was determined, right? I was determined that I'm not going to go back to jail. I'm not going to get back into that lifestyle.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
I mean, determined is one thing, but mm-hmm. this actually sounds very humbling.
Right.
It is humbling.
Jail is humbling. I mean,
you got that right. That's exactly right.
I mean, you go to jail, right? I mean, it depends on how you see things, right?
Yeah.
Some people can see things a certain way and other people can't, right? My dad used to always say that the average person can learn from their own mistakes.
That's right.
But the above average person learns from other people's mistakes.
That's right. So you busted your butt, started doing the spray paint thing.
Right.
You could have done graffiti.
Right.
You could have been tagging Malik all over the place.
Exactly.
But you didn't. You did something productive, and now you're cooking. You got your own company.
Yep.
Tell me, how did that go from spray painting to plating?
Actually, okay. I always had a love for cooking, and I always was cooking. Like my dad, he started me outside the backyard doing a barbecue and things like that.
Well, that's
how I started.
That's
right?
What we do.
Right. And then it moved into the kitchen. Right.
Okay.
And what happened was, at the time, I had a nightclub, and my sister used to work for me at the nightclub.
Whoa! You owned a nightclub?
Yeah, I owned a nightclub.
What kind of nightclub was this?
It was a nice little nightclub in West Baltimore.
How'd you own it? Just from the working with
You know what happened? It's a guy named the guy who owned it.
Mm-hmm.
He had it as a rental hall.
Okay.
But he was very impersonable. People who dealt with him,
mm-hmm.
you dealt with him that one time.
Yeah, so he was not nice.
Right, he wasn't nice.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't professional, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I had a little party with him,
mm-hmm.
and the party turned out great. And I had the same problems with him mm-hmm. that everybody else had, but his price was good. I mean, I was able to make money because yep. of the price that he was giving me, right? So I did a couple more events, and then he was telling me how the place not doing too good, and he had a liquor license.
Oh, so you mean you were cooking for him?
No.
You were working for him.
I was throwing parties at his hall.
Doing parties?
Throwing parties.
Oh, like, throwing parties. So like, you were like event planning. Yeah,
exactly.
I was
selling tickets.
Got
it. To come to party. And he was telling me how he wasn't doing that well and would I be interested in renting it on a monthly basis.
All right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I got into it. So that's what I did. Right? I did it for about 2 years, and we did pretty well. So one day my sister came to me and said that my sister, she used to work at the Job Corps Center, and they wanted to do a Christmas party.
Mm-hmm.
So they went to my cousin, who has a catering company, and she came to me saying that his prices were like way outrageous.
Okay. Right?
So I like, what they want? Uh-huh. What kind of food they want? And she told me, and okay, I can do that. And I put a proposal in, and I got it. And for the next 2 years, I did all the events. The events for the Job Corps Center.
Get out.
Yep. And then I went to working with my cousin who had the catering company.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really wanted to get into food. And my cousin, he didn't go to culinary school. So he didn't stress to me, go to culinary school.
Okay.
It wasn't until I left him and got around chefs who went to culinary school that said, okay, you really want to do this, you got to go to culinary school.
Okay.
So that's what I did.
Who paid for culinary school?
Me, Uncle Sam.
Okay.
I'm still paying.
So you got some, at least some financial assistance, some student loans.
Got student loans and a couple grants.
And you know what? You got to do it.
Right.
So let me ask you this. This is going to get political.
Right.
But like if someone says, you know what? Like I think you went to culinary school. Now you got a company.
Mm-hmm.
But I think all of your debt should be eliminated. Someone else should be paying for all that.
Right.
What do you think about that?
This is what I think about it. It depends on what it's going, what you're going for, right?
Uh-huh.
I was just watching last week on the news. NYU University.
Yep.
Medical students.
Correct.
They now have tuition-free medical school for everybody.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Because
so many doctors was coming out of school being $100,000 in debt, right? So now, if you go to their school and take their medical course, it's free, right? Okay, when it comes to cooking, it's a little different, all right? I'm not saving lives,
So doctors should get it for free?
Right, I mean,
make millions of dollars.
But you know, I mean,
But you think you should be paying for your tuition?
I mean, I think you got to pay a price for everything in life.
Including medical school.
That's what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah, I mean, so in other words, you're not looking for a handout.
No, not at all.
Okay, that's what I'm looking at because a lot of people are.
Right.
A lot of people are just looking for handouts.
Right.
Especially people who might have come out of a situation like you.
Again,
it's real easy to victimize yourself.
Exactly. You know, opportunity. I mean, you got to seize the moment, right? You have to get out there and make it work.
Yes,
right?
You do.
You got to take responsibility for your own happiness. Take responsibility for your own life.
Mm.
I mean, live on purpose. I mean, live with purpose and on purpose, right? So, and so that's what I did.
And so you do these events for your sister.
Mm-hmm.
They find out, dang,
you
can cook.
Exactly.
Then you get to culinary school.
Get to culinary school.
That's like 2 to 3 years.
Right, 2 years, yeah.
Okay. And then you start working where?
I start working anywhere and everywhere. Sometimes I had like 4 part-time jobs, right?
I wanted to work under
this one chef named Chef Anthony, right? So I went to him. I said, "Hi, sir. My name is Malik Anderson. I'm in my second year culinary school, and I wanted to know if you need any help." Like he said, "No. We don't need help. We're pretty good right now." Okay, that was a Friday, and next Friday I came back again. "Hey, how you doing?" I came back. Remember I was there the other day? I was just checking, seeing if you need any help, right? He's like, "Nah, I told you last week. We don't need any help, right?" The third Friday, I come again. "Hey, man, look, I just checked to see if you need any help. And I told you before we need help." "Yeah, I was thinking maybe somebody quit or something like that, right?"
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, "No, we don't need no help." Okay? The fourth Friday, I went. And as I was coming in, a guy was delivering some potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
He had a, like, 10, 50 Backs pounds of bags of potatoes. Yeah. So, and I held the door open for him, mm-hmm. right? So he can pull his card in, right? Mm-hmm. And then I said, how you doing? My name is Amalika. He said, I know who you are, right? He said, yeah. He said, can you peel potato? Yeah, I said, yeah. All right, stop peeling potatoes right there.
Dude, again, I'm looking at humility.
Right.
You just graduated culinary school.
Mm-hmm.
You should not be peeling potatoes.
Still in culinary school. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, so like you're getting ready to, so you're peeling potatoes.
Right.
And you took that job.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so in a way, you started off really at the lowest level.
Yes, I did.
By the way, so did I.
Right,
I mean,
right,
it's like
right.
I was washing dishes, mm-hmm. you know, and then you kind of move forward in the cooking world.
Right.
And now you got your own company.
Now I got my own company.
On Point Catering.
On Point Personal Chef and Catering.
And you are On Point Personal Chef and Catering, mm-hmm. which is different because you got to create new menus all the time.
All the time. All the time.
You got to make stuff up.
Personal Chef, I like Personal Chef because you can be so creative. You can really express yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? When you work in a restaurant, especially somebody else's restaurant,
yep.
you're basically doing what they want you to do.
That's right.
Your creativity is cut.
You know what I mean? You know what
I'm saying? And I tell people all the time, like me, I admit to you, I am not a good line cook. I'm not a good line cook. I'm not fast.
Line cook, folks, is that, you know, they're the people who literally sit in front of a station, whether
right.
it be fry station mm-hmm. or the grill or the saute or just the stove.
Right.
And they basically bark out orders and you just have to
exactly.
give them what they want.
Right. I just tell people that you can get you can train a monkey to be a good line cook.
They've got robots now.
Right, right. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. A line cook, you just learn your station.
Hey,
right?
By the way, line cooks, don't be insulted.
No, please don't.
Exactly, because
right, right.
we know you work your
right.
butt off. But mm-hmm. it's not for everybody.
It's not.
And it wasn't for you.
Right. My wife had to tell me. My wife told me, she, I was mad. She said, you know why you don't like the jobs you be getting? I said, why? She said, because you're not a line cook, you're a chef. You keep going for these little line cook jobs when you're a chef.
And so, in other words, you had a little bit more of like, I want to be creative. I want to do something
right.
else.
Right.
I want to be able. And so you were like a specials cook.
Exactly. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. tell us what a specials cook is.
Okay. I was I had a job where I had to come up with a special every day. Okay.
For how long, though?
For every day, every 5 days a week. But they had a 21-day turnaround.
Yep.
Meaning that I couldn't have the same dish within a 21-day period.
And so you walked in there
right.
and you hoped to God your special was tasty enough
right.
that people would want to order it.
Exactly. I walked in there, looked at the refrigerator, see, hey, what are we not selling? You know, and try to create something out of what we weren't selling.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
so
I mean?
So your mind is working like
right.
an entrepreneur.
Exactly.
Because you're looking at something and you're trying to make it
mm-hmm.
better.
Better.
All right.
Right.
So now you're doing your thing
mm-hmm.
and now all of a sudden you are cooking with me.
Right.
What is up with that?
Right.
How did that happen?
I'm telling you what it was. First of all, it was God's divine plan. Right?
Okay.
Right. Or we can say like America say about them coming over here in this country, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can call it manifest destiny.
Okay.
Manifest destiny.
Manifest destiny.
Right, you know what I mean?
But it also took some networking.
It took some networking. You know what? I first got introduced to you,
yeah.
a guy named Chuck Whitmore, who is the leader of the Hunt Valley CBC.
It's a lot of letters.
Right, right. Christian Businessmen's Connection, CBMC.
Oh, CBMC. Okay.
CBMC. And he had brought me a book,
uh-huh.
that one of your books.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Grace Before Meals.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I read it. Like, wow, I like it. And then a year or so later, he said, you know what? He's going to be here at this Olive.
The Olive Mass.
At the Olive Mass.
Yeah.
And he said, you want to go with me? I said, yeah, I went with him. And that's when I met you.
So you go to this Olive Mass, and it was probably the first time you've ever experienced anything like that, right?
Right. Look, you know, I did a little bit. I went to a Catholic school.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
You went to Catholic school. I think that's part of the reason
right.
why you're here.
Right.
Those
right.
nuns and teachers were praying for you.
Right. Somebody prayed for me.
Yeah, well, most doubt, no
mm-hmm.
doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But so you went to Catholic school, but I understand you weren't always Catholic. You were Muslim.
No. I was a Muslim for almost 20 years. I was a Muslim.
How'd you get to be a Muslim
years?
Years?
Well,
right, Muslim for 20 years almost.
Right, okay, I became a Muslim before being locked up. Right,
mm-hmm.
and I became Muslim, but I didn't really learn the religion
mm-hmm.
until I got locked up.
Until you right. got locked up.
Until I got once
and
once
boy,
I got
they really
up,
get.
That's when I really got into.
But why
it.
Did mm-hmm. you get into it in the first place?
Because I mean, I just wanted something different. in that there's a lot going on around me, mm-hmm. like in the household that I, like it's a lot that, that had took place in my household growing up, right? A lot of negative things that took place in my household growing up, and yet we was forced to go to church 2-3 times a week.
I see.
So we got all this happening here, right? Uh-huh. But yet, all this negativity, all this
craziness
going on, but yet you're making me go to church 2-3 times a week.
Right? In other words, all the bad, and then you go to church, right. Don't make it good.
I couldn't understand that.
And it's easy to find something different.
Exactly. I couldn't understand that.
You right? go to Muslim, and boy, they are strong in the Muslim community. The Muslim community is strong in the prison systems.
And yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Because they kind of create a brotherhood for
right.
you all.
Right.
And so you say that you learned about it.
I learned religion, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had a real good Islamic coordinator who worked there, right?
Yep.
And he was real good, and he brought the true religion of Islam to us, right?
Okay.
And he taught us Arabic, and then when I got out of school, I went to the madrasa, which is
sure.
Islamic school,
mm-hmm.
and I had a fifth grade understanding of the Arabic language. I mean, I could quote, I could read the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
I knew like a part, the Quran comes in 30 parts.
Yep.
I knew like one part and a half by heart, I mean, by memory.
And so right. why did you, what changed?
Once again,
mm-hmm.
life, I mean, nothing is consistent but change. The only thing that's going to be consistent is that something's going to change, right?
That's true. That's actually Heraclitus.
Right.
That's another story.
Right. right. So it's just, once again, it's just life. And the things that went around me, and my mom's pastor, he called me. I think he spent like 6-7, maybe even 8 months just calling me every
nagging
week.
Pastor. Talk,
just to, right. just calling me and talking to me. And finally one day I asked, I said, so you sure this Christianity thing where it's the right thing? And he said, yeah, I pretty much think so, Malik. I said, you can't think so. I'm saying, you got to be sure. Is yeah, I'm sure.
That's right.
I'm sure it was. So that's how I got back into it.
So, so this pastor is helping you out.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, you're kind of doing better.
Right.
And now you got your company. Mm-hmm. And we meet because this one man mm-hmm. introduced you.
Right.
And so let me just ask you this. What do you think you want in life? I mean, what's going to be your dream?
Okay. My dream is to be successful
mm-hmm.
and to be able to use my success for me to get closer to God and to bring other people to God, right?
I mean, are you saying that just because I'm a priest?
No, not at all. I want to be a fisherman of souls, right? I want to be the example in the inner city or in the hood, so to say, right? People can look and say, hey, look at Malik. Look what he did,
mm-hmm.
right? Because so many people in the inner cities, in the hood or the ghetto, how you want to call mm-hmm. it, so many of them think that the system doesn't work for them.
And it doesn't.
But you know why?
Why?
Because they don't live within the system. The system only works for those people who live within the system.
Unbelievable. In other words, the laws, if you follow them,
right.
they can help you.
Can help me. Right? Can help me. Right?
That is freaking brilliant, chef.
Right.
I mean, it's so commonsensical.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to try to use your gifts.
Right.
And you've got some. Look, I know you can cook.
Right. Yes, sir.
But at the same time, you got a good mind for organization. I mean, we just started cooking for the first time together
right.
just recently.
I really enjoyed it.
And you didn't hate me.
Right, no.
There was no knives thrown.
No, right? Ain't nobody get cut.
We didn't even drop the F-bomb.
Right.
the faith right. bomb, people.
Right.
Because we just walked right in there, and we just started working, and people loved the food.
Right, yes, they did. They
I mean, just, it was tasty food.
Yes, they did.
And your takeaway from all this, I mean, I get it. You want to use your gifts and talents and help other people.
Mm-hmm.
But there's got to be more. I mean, like, what would be kind of you living the dream?
Me living the dream?
Yeah, what would that look like?
Me living the dream just to be able to help myself or me to go places that I want to go, like on vacation, right?
Sure.
And to be able to help friends and family that I see need help.
Hmm. So what would be like a perfect vacation for you?
Perfect vacation?
Yeah. Tell me about this. I'd love to hear this.
I think it would be somewhere on the island.
Okay.
I mean, just me and my wife.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And somebody cooking for me. you know what
really?
I mean? I want to travel a lot. This last year or so, I've been doing the traveling chef thing, right? And I really like that. And I've been on TV 8 times for the last year and a half. Like it's a show called, it's by Fox 45, you might have heard of. It's called Be More Lifestyle.
Sure, I know them.
I've been on there. I've been in like 6 times.
Good for you.
I like the TV thing because actually, I don't know if you noticed it over the last couple of days you and I working. Sometimes when I was growing up, I stuttered real bad. I used to stutter.
Sure.
Real bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked on it. When I said, okay, I want to be on TV. You can't be on TV stuttering, right? Mm-hmm. So I took a speech class, and I worked on it, right? And it's kind of ironic. You know, the thing that I stutter on now the most is so crazy, is that when somebody asks me my name.
Really?
I stutter.
Ain't that something?
Ain't that something?
So now you just go by chef.
Right. right. You know what I'm saying? So
now
basically,
I really,
you don't know this, I'm telling you now, I did some real CIA vetting on you. Right, you know what I'm saying?
I know. Everybody does.
Right. I said, okay, this guy seems to be pretty good, right? Because it's hard these days to be famous or to be known. Because everybody coming after you.
Do you think I'm famous?
Right? No, yeah, to me you are. To me, listen.
Was that why you were nervous working with me?
Right, I was nervous, right. You know?
But am I just a normal guy?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Thank
yes,
you,
are,
because that would be... The worst thing in the world is for someone to think that I don't put my pants on like everybody else.
Right.
You know, like I've got the same struggles as everybody else.
Right.
And even though we grew up in different situations, we all have our challenges. Right.
I think that as long as anybody comes around you and do what's expected of them and or do what they're supposed to do, they're not going to have a problem with you.
All right. One last question, man, because this was awesome.
Yes, sir.
Very, very inspiring for me.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do as a priest to help you?
To help me,
mm-hmm.
You could continue to God bless me. You can pray and continue to God bless me. Continue to God gives me understanding what He wants for me. Because a lot of times we just don't know what God wants, right? So pray to God that He makes it clear to me what He wants me to do, right? And pray that, if I keep my why I want to be successful ahead of when or how I will be successful.
I love this, man. Chef, when I come back, I'm going to give you all my carry-out order. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you. I really appreciate you. Thank you,
my
too.
My pleasure. And we'll be back with Shoot the Shiitake in just a moment. And welcome back for my carry-out order, and a special thanks once again to Chef Malik Anderson. You can just hear by his voice and by the way he talks, he and I are very, very different people. But we have something in common, and that is a passion to serve. You know, I talk oftentimes about the power of food to do good, and my work with the Table Foundation, which is the nonprofit portion of my food and faith movement, we work to serve two groups of people. One, people in the hospitality industry, because they work incredibly hard and oftentimes so disregarded and probably not even recognized. And oftentimes you might thank your wait staff, but we don't really thank the dishwasher or the cooks in the back or even the people who clean up the place later on in the evening. And so the hospitality industry comprises a lot of different parts. And the second group of people that my nonprofit group, the Table Foundation, supports are returning citizens. And just like Chef Malik, he fits both bills. He is not only in the hospitality industry, he is also coming out of a prison system to a degree. You know, he's been out of it for quite a while, and he's led an incredibly inspiring and successful life. You know, when I work with people like that, while they think that I'm here to help them, they really are inspiring and motivating. Did you just hear how motivated he was to do the very humble and simple tasks of painting driveways, and from painting to plating grace, really? It just shows how redemption is real. But it does require a lot of things, including humility. It's something that we don't have. And sometimes it takes incarceration or to be on time out.
to experience the humility that God wants of us. But you know what? Humility is not the same as humiliation. It's not to make us feel bad. It's actually to bring us back to who we really are. Yep, we are sinners. We are broken. We are just as messed up as everybody else. But if we can take these opportunities and learn how to be stronger in our virtue and how to temper and manage our vices, we become not only humble, we become more human and more relatable. You know, obviously, if you were to take a look at Chef Malik, he looks like a tough guy. I would not mess with him on the streets. But let me tell you, having had the opportunity to work with him a few times, he's a gentle giant, really. I mean, he's just a good man. And I hope that this discussion gave you an opportunity to just look past the image and see a soul, and to realize that if we really are taking our faith seriously, eating with people of all different backgrounds is an important part of our faith. But you know what's even more important? Not just eating with them, but cooking with them. And that's exactly what me and this whole Plating Grace and the Table Foundation organization is all about. So I want to thank my guest once again, Chef Malik Anderson. And really, I hope you enjoyed this brief interview. So thank you all for listening. And if you want to support the podcast and our movement, again, just go to platinggrace.com, click on support us, and you can become part of our Plating Grace Academy. But between now and the next time we shoot the shiitake, I hope you enjoyed this show. And more importantly, stay hungry.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Have you ever been put on the spot and asked to explain or defend Catholic teaching on sensitive topics such as abortion, same-sex marriage, or the Eucharist? What to Say and How to Say It is a straightforward and practical resource by Brandon Vogt, best-selling and award-winning author of Why I Am Catholic and You Should Be Too. He offers essential tools for articulating even the most contentious aspects of your Catholic faith with clarity and confidence. You can get a copy of this important new book at AveMariaPress.com. Use code TALKFAITH to get 25% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.